I invite you to turn with me this evening to the last chapter of Joshua for our last study in Joshua, Joshua 24, and the title of this message is Decision. Joshua is calling the people to a decision. I'd like to speak tonight a little bit about the subject of decisions, making decisions in life, and just how important decisions are, and how they relate to our relationship to the Lord. But just about every decision we make, in one way or other, leads us back to or away from the Lord. Now, the last two chapters of Joshua, as we've studied them over the last month or so, contain Joshua's farewell address. In chapter 23, we saw that Joshua is presenting the people four reasons why we love God. And these reasons apply not only to the people to whom Joshua was speaking, but also to us. And I love that chapter because I love to be reminded of this, that I love God because of all that He has done, because of all that He will do, because of all that He has said, and because of all that He is. And those are exactly the four things that Joshua communicated to the people in his farewell address. And then in chapter 24, as that address continues on in a different place, a different town or city, at a different time, but probably not very much afterwards, Joshua calls the people together to say to them, basically say to them, now if you love God, you must commit to Him. And that's true of us too. If we love God, we will make commitments to Him and to His work. Otherwise, we just don't love Him. We saw in chapter 24 how the first 20 verses relate to the convocation to charge the people. That is how the people gathered together so that Joshua could speak to them or preach to them. And we saw just how important it is that God's people come together to be challenged or to be charged. And then in verses 21 through 24, we talked about the commitment from the people. And that the people were all very willing to give a commitment to the Lord, but Joshua was a little bit skeptical about their commitment. And so he had this interchange with them where he did challenge them. And then in verses 25 through 28 of this chapter, we saw that there was a formal covenant renewal ceremony. And that's what Joshua was there for, and that's what he was leading them to do, to make a formal commitment to the covenant that was made with them through Moses, or by Moses. But now tonight we want to look at those very beautiful verses that are so familiar to us, that are found on innumerable numbers of doormats and wall hangings. Verses 14 through 16. Joshua 24. This is part of Joshua's charge to the people when he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." And then, as I said in one of our earlier studies, Joshua has this interchange where he's really challenging them as to whether they really mean it. But notice, in verse 31, it says that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which He had done for Israel. So that's a good ending to the story. They actually heeded the charge, and they did serve the Lord. So there's hope for us as well, isn't there? Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless us now as we spend this brief time considering the importance of decision-making in the Christian life, and just how far-reaching all of our decisions are. We ask, Lord, that You would help us to be wise in everything that we choose, Lord. And help us to see that You are truly calling us just about every day to make decisions for You. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So basically what I'd like to do tonight is look at these verses maybe from a little different standpoint than we are perhaps used to looking at them, because we really have already talked about the whole matter of serving the Lord and making covenant commitments to Him. So I'd like to speak tonight about the place of decisions in our lives and how important decisions are, and the relationship of all of our decisions to the Lord. Decisions and devotion. And originally I was thinking of dividing it up into points, but I think I'm not going to divide it up into points and just talk about how our decisions relate to our devotion to the Lord. But I do want you to notice in verse 15 how Joshua says, choose for yourselves. Choose. So just focus on the word choose. Now Joshua is giving the people a choice. For some reason in his leadership, he sees the need to call his fellow countrymen to make a choice. And it seems to be a radical, far-reaching, profound choice, because he says they must do it today. He's not telling them that you should go home and pray about this. He's telling them that you need to make this decision today, right now. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. And that is so important. What do you make of that? If this were a Sunday school class, we would have some feedback on this, and that would be great. But it's not a Sunday school class, so what do you make of that? Choose for yourselves today, right now, as opposed to, well, go home and pray about this and think about it for a while. Well, I think it teaches us that wavering and fence-sitting and equivocating and waffling are all spiritually deadly, and we tend to do that in our lives. We tend to put things off and say, well, I'll think about that next week or next month or sometime later. Especially young people may think that, well, I have a long life ahead of me, and so I don't really need to think about all these spiritual issues. I'll think about them at a more opportune time. I'm not ready to make these decisions. But as I pointed out this morning, the Bible comes with a resounding today. Today, when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And that seems to be the spirit in which Joshua tells the people to choose. He knows that deciding, making a decision, the decision that you make now, the decision that you make when you're faced with the choice, the decision that you make sometimes by default. Well, now in these days, we really know what default means because of our computers. When you don't make a decision, you're making a decision by default. So we're always making decisions. Deciding is a crucial factor in the life of godliness. God's people must always make a choice. All people make choices, and all people must make a choice. And all people have the choice set before them every day as to whether they're going to seek the Lord or not. And unbelievers choose not to seek the Lord. So Joshua is telling them that deciding is a crucial factor in the life of godliness. Now, when you look at what Joshua is doing here, and you try to get into his heart and see what's motivating him, it's obvious that Joshua, as a leader, or the leader in Israel, is not willing to lose his people, and that's a good thing. So the leader comes to the people in the same way you would say that, you know, a parent would come to the children, or parents would come to the children, or spiritual leaders would come before the people and say, you know, I'm not willing to lose you. Under my leadership, I want to keep you. So you tell the people, you have to make a choice. Joshua isn't willing to lose his people. He can't force them. He can only urge them. And it's clear that they must decide. Notice the phrase again, choose for yourselves. Choose for yourselves. Now in the process of leadership coming to the people and not wanting to lose them and saying to them, choose for yourselves, notice he also tells them, I've already made my choice. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I don't want to lose you, Joshua says, but I'm going to follow the Lord, and my house is going to follow the Lord. Now that's interesting too, because Joshua isn't giving his family the choice. He's giving the people the choice, but he's not giving his family the choice. He's saying the people over whom I do have some measure of control, they're going to follow the Lord too. There's a good lesson for parents in an age which says you can't jam religion down kids' throats. And you got to give kids the freedom of expression, and you got to help them to let that personal expression come out And you have to be careful as parents. That's what the world is telling us. But Joshua, you see, says, I don't want to lose you. You have to choose. But I don't have any control over you. But the people over whom I do have some measure of control, they're going with me as well. We've decided. And yet he says, we've decided. I've decided. We, he uses the expression, we will serve the Lord. And you see, it brings up again this issue that we must decide for the Lord or not for the Lord. And you see this in Elijah. Remember how Elijah took the people of Mount Carmel and they had to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. There's that same choice coming before the people. And Jesus also climbed a mountain. It was actually climbed a mountain and found a level place, and we call that the Mount of Beatitudes, where he gave the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. And you remember he did the same thing. He said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You cannot serve God and riches. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and hold to the other. You cannot serve God and riches. He talked about the importance of spiritual vision, the eye, and what kind of eye you have determines what kind of decisions and choices you're going to make. The apostles came to the people and also called the people to decisions. I remember how Paul said to the people, I think it was in Corinth, do you want me to come to you with a rod or with gentleness? You choose. So always this choice is coming. The choice is always there for us. It's always coming for us. And it teaches us this important lesson that decision is our part and our duty. Decision is our part and our duty. Now I know that all of you good theologians who are out there listening, who are there listening to me right now and hearing what I just said, you're immediately saying, but we have no power to make any decisions. And that God is sovereign and that He ultimately makes all the decisions for us. But that would be wrong to say that. It would be wrong to respond in that way, and it would be wrong to replace what I just said with that. Because that would be replacing divine sovereignty with human responsibility. That would be replacing human responsibility with divine sovereignty, excuse me. And they are not something to be interchanged. They work together like those two tracks that guide the train. They run parallel together. We're looking at the human part. Decision is our part. It's our duty. God calls us to make decisions. And we need to be good decision makers, and we need to make decisions that will enable us to be devoted to the Lord. See, the decision, choose for yourselves, is a decision about whom you will serve. It's a decision about serving God or idols. Notice all the talk there is about idols. Whether you will serve the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, that is, go back to your past, revert back to the past, or whether you will settle in and be comfortable where you are, that's the present, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Are you going to go back to the past? Are you going to stay where you are in the present here and just make yourself comfortable and assimilate with the peoples of the land? It's your choice. Which one are you going to do? So the decision is all part of our devotion to the Lord and their devotion to the Lord. And you see, spiritually, as believers, and in the families of believers, as you children are growing up in Christian homes, there's always a call for us to make a decision. You hear the words of Jesus, don't you? Follow me. It's not a one-time call. It's an ongoing call. He's always calling us to follow Him. And you should hear that. I don't mean to be mystical or charismatic in any way in saying this, but as we face decisions in life, we should hear the Lord Jesus saying to us, follow me, follow me, follow me. And that's one of the means that we can use to help us, to keep us from following evil or following the devil or going in the wrong path. Follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Present your body a living sacrifice. The call comes to us in all these varied terms, and it's a decision that we face. So here you see that Joshua, as the leader of the people, calls others. He responds to the call himself. He sets himself up as an example. Now here's what you must do. Choose for yourselves whom you will serve. I'm telling you what I am doing, what my family's doing, and that of course is to help them, to encourage them, and to motivate them to make the right choice. And it teaches us that when we hear the call, follow me, deny yourself, put off the old man, put on the new. Walk in the truth, walk in the light, walk in wisdom, present your body a living sacrifice. The response to that is our duty. It's our duty. It's our part. We can't say, well, I don't have the power to do that. God wouldn't call us to do it if He wouldn't enable us to do it. And that, of course, is the other part. I stated a moment ago that here is the lesson. Decision is our part. And the other lesson that goes along with it, which brings the encouragement, is that enablement or power is God's part. And that's what makes it work. And that's what makes it a wonderful call. Decision is our part. We must make the decisions. The power is God's part. The power, if you will, to carry out the choice, to put the choice into practice, that's God's part. And as I said earlier, in chapter 24, the book of Joshua ends on a good note. It's the book of Judges, which is coming, takes us back and down, and it's a sad story in the next book. But as far as this book is concerned, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord which He had done for Israel. Why do you think that was so? Why do you think that the story ends well? Well, I think that the story ends well because Joshua was a good leader, was a great example, was a loving man, was a devoted man. And it shows us that if we're devoted to the Lord and we make the right decisions, we'll actually encourage others and lift them up so that they will be able to follow the Lord as well. Now, about these decisions that I was speaking about tonight, the choices that we make in life are rational choices. They're rational choices. That means that we have to really think about them. Now in our world does not cultivate careful thinking because everything's kind of spoon-fed for us and we get everybody's ideas packaged nicely with beautiful pictures and images and fast-moving images and we don't have time to think about things. But Christians, there's no excuse for believers not to make rational choices, to think about everything, to judge everything, and don't judge things by their appearance. And to be somewhat skeptical about many of the things that come down the road in this modern life. We make rational choices. Another element of the choices involved in the choices that we make are that they are moral choices. They're moral choices. The things that we decide to do or the things that we decide not to do, the people that we decide to be with, to hang out with, the people that we allow to influence us, in most cases, these choices involve moral issues, moral matters. They involve us in areas of sin or righteousness, good or evil, good or bad, wisdom or folly. They are moral choices. So we not only have to think about them, but we have to apply them to God's standard and His law. But they're also spiritual choices. They're spiritual choices because just about every decision that we make, even many of the small decisions that we make, it to one degree or other affect our spiritual lives and affect how we will walk with the Lord. And finally, they are personal and family choices. The decisions that we make in life are decisions that I make for myself and for my family. And I don't mean if you're not married, it doesn't mean you don't have a family. They're family choices. They affect our families and not just ourselves. And as Christians, they affect the church family as well. So there's a lot to think about when you make a decision. There's a lot to think about. This decision involves a rational choice. It involves a moral choice. It involves a spiritual choice. It involves a personal choice, a family choice, a church choice. It's not just about me. It's about a lot of other people. So therefore, we need help in making decisions. We're constantly making decisions. Constantly making decisions about what to do, what to allow, what to begin, what to stop. We can always we make bad decisions, we make good decisions. And one of the things that we need to learn in life and ask God to help us to do is to become good decision makers, so that we'll be able to look at everything with all of those elements and come to a good conclusion. Sometimes and oftentimes we need counsel in making decisions, maybe even on little things. Should I go down this road? Should I buy this? Should I buy that? Should I allow this? Should I let my children do this? Should I do this? And there are just so many things, I wouldn't even know where to begin in listing them. And always remember, dear friends, that we can always reverse a bad decision. Sometimes we make bad decisions. Sometimes I've made bad decisions. But you can always reverse a bad decision. A bad decision, when it's identified, does not doom you to the bad choice. You can always turn it around. And you should turn it around if you judge later on that the decision that you made back then about this or that was wrong. You should turn that decision around. You should reverse it. And not be ashamed to reverse it. And not be ashamed to admit that it was a bad decision. Lest it take you down any further, change it now while the light is in you. And I think that another thing we should do is we should always stop and ask about certain important things in our lives. Well, ask ourselves, well, how has my life changed since I allowed this thing to be a part of my life? Have I seen any deterioration in my spiritual life since I started doing this or that or the other thing? Or since I allowed this or that or the other thing into my home? Or since I allowed my children to do this or that or the other thing? Has our life deteriorated with the Lord? Has our devotion gone downhill, or is it improved? And so look at it rationally. Look at it morally. Look at it spiritually. Look at it personally and ask, was that a good decision? Don't be afraid to ask. And by all means, ask. So that if you need to reverse the decision, you can. A lot of our problems, or some of our problems, let me say, could be alleviated if we would just reverse some bad decisions that we made in life. And so finally, in this general survey, or you might call it a survey of the subject of decisions in the Christian life, I would like to then finally remind you that all of our decisions ultimately relate to our devotion to the Lord. Now obviously Joshua is going for big matters here. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. He's going for the big matters of commitment, and they actually do, as I said, enter into a covenant commitment with the Lord. But the context is idolatry versus the true God. And isn't it the same with us? You remember how John ended his first letter, 1 John chapter 5, and he said, it's a strange way to end a letter. He says, children, guard yourself from idols, or keep yourself from idols. There's no proper closing in that letter. It's just, keep yourself from idols. And so for Christians, you have this same theme being brought before us. And I would link it to the whole matter of making decisions as Christians. Keep yourselves from idols. Many of the practical decisions we face in the Christian life are issues of devotion and worship. We may not think so. We may not think that it is, but if you look at it really hard, you'll find that many of the decisions that we make are issues of devotion to the Lord. Things that we allow ourselves to do, things that we buy, things that we involve ourselves with, ultimately affect our devotion to the Lord. And so we have to ask ourselves whether those decisions were correct. Loving God, it's often a matter of loving God or loving sins and habits. It's often a matter of whether I love God or whether I love my preferences. It's often a matter of commitments versus conveniences. That means commitments that we make in the covenant, the new covenant with Jesus Christ, when we made a commitment to follow Him, when we heard the call, when we made the decision. Of course, God enabled us to make the decision, but we still made the decision to follow Him. When we made the decision to deny ourselves, when we made the decision to put off the old man and put on the new man, when we made these decisions, when we responded to these calls, then we were being faithful to the covenant. And that's the way we should live our Christian life. And not based on conveniences. So, decisions relate to our devotion to the Lord. Make good decisions Make wise decisions. And by all means, make the decisions that respond to the calls that we find in the Bible. The calls to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The call to fear the Lord. The call to, in the language of the New Testament, walk in love, walk in the light, walk in wisdom. This call, these calls are always coming to us. And who's calling us to do these things? It's our Joshua that's calling us to do these things. Here in Joshua 24, verses 14 through 16, Joshua is calling the people. And if we apply what Joshua is saying, well, we can say that Joshua is also calling us. Well, he didn't know that, but now that the Bible has been given to us and inspired by the Spirit and given to us as a gift for Christians even today, we know that Joshua is calling us. But someone else is calling us. It's our Joshua. For our Jesus is named after this Joshua. He is the Joshua who delivers. He's the Joshua who's the conqueror. He's the Joshua who calls us in the same kind of language, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Let's pray. Thank you for calling us, Lord. Thank you for enabling us to hear your call. And Lord, we are ashamed of so many decisions that we have made in life. Lord, we're ashamed that sometimes we make decisions because we excuse ourselves and say we're too weak or we don't have the power to do what is right, do what you call us to do. Lord, help us to remember that everything that you call us to do, you enable us to do, but you wait for us to make the choice. So Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be wise in our decision making. Help us, Lord, to be willing to overturn bad decisions. Help us, Lord, to look at all the decisions that we have made and assess whether those decisions have profited our spiritual life and brought glory to you and enriched and enhanced our relationship with you and with others and your work. And help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with other people. Help us, Lord, to receive challenges when others challenge us about bad decisions that we have made. Help us, Lord, not to get uppity and offended by that. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for it. Help us, Lord, to choose this day whom we will serve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.